Have you ever been involved in a ministry where you thought the Lord was clearly calling you to that ministry, and you'd been in it a long time, and you were getting a little impatient, thinking the Lord really wasn't going to work, and you really sinned in terms of either being so impatient that you misrepresented God or something or other, and God really telling you, okay, because of that, you're not going to finish this work. And then watching God really work in a huge, huge, huge way, moving forward to a completion of that work, and thinking that, well, maybe your sin wasn't so bad after all. The work is going on, and you know, I think I'll just pray to the Lord to let me see the completion of that work. And so you pray, and the Lord says, what? Enough of that. Don't speak to me about that anymore. That's what we have in today's prayer with Moses. He has been leading the children of Israel for quite a number of years, probably about 38 years, maybe more, through the wilderness march, and they come to Kadesh Barnea again, the second time, really, to where the water came out of the rock the first time. The people are thirsty again. You know that story. And they're clamoring about wanting to go back to Egypt even after 38 years, and they need a new leader, and they want to stone him and all this kind of thing. And Moses loses it, and he gets mad, and he misrepresents God. He tells Moses to speak to the rock, and of course that rock is a type of Christ, so it's very important principle there. Christ is not to be struck more than once. He's not to be crucified more than once. But Moses gets mad and says, you rebels, how long do I have to put up with you? And he goes out and he strikes the rock, misrepresenting God. And so God said, Moses, you misrepresenting me, you will not go into the promised land. A little more time goes by, and finally God tells them they've been there long enough, leave that wilderness, and they start up the east side of the Dead Sea, and there they engage first Heshbon. When you read about the kings Heshbon and Og, the king of Bashan, on your last page of your notes, there's kind of a, maybe it's a map that's kind of hard to discern, because it didn't come out very well. But you can see on the very left margin the Jordan River, and down at the bottom, which just doesn't really show, is the Dead Sea, and up pretty close to the top is the Sea of Galilee. And you'll see the region, which is a little bit shaded here. The bottom region is the king of Heshbon, and the larger region up north is Bashan. That's a huge area. The king of Bashan was such a giant that his bed was over 13 feet long. So Moses is watching the Lord crush these two kingdoms. They took every city. The cities were well fortified with high walls. And Moses is watching God work. Moses is watching God prepare, finally at long last, to go into the promised land. He's already been told that he's not going to lead them in, that Joshua is to lead them in. He's already told that he is to encourage Joshua. Look at these kings, how strong they were, and how God conquered them, and therefore God is going to lead you all the way into the promised land. And so we come to our present study today in the 23rd verse of chapter 3 of Deuteronomy. And we see Moses praying, pleading. Verse 23, then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. I don't know how he spoke that. he's still a tender God, but he probably was pretty firm. Enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. How happy are you in getting answers to prayer like that? Do you ever agree with the Lord that his answer is right when you don't agree with it? Do you get bitter and angry and say, Lord, I don't understand, you're not fair, you're not this, you're not that, or whatever, it's not right to me? Or can you still see the graciousness of God in everything? Here we see the graciousness of God because God in his graciousness lets Moses see the land. He's already told him he can't go into it because of his misrepresenting him. But in verse 27, he tells him, go up to the top of Pisgah, another name for Mount Nebo, or Mount Nebo, another name for Pisgah, or maybe they're twin mountains there, I don't know, but go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes. Now, this is just east of the Dead Sea. If you're there in Israel today, you can see they've got a monastery and stuff up on top of the mountain there, just east of the Dead Sea, on the north end of the Dead Sea. And this is where Moses is believed to have gone in response to this. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east, and behold, or see it, behold it with your eyes. So here's the graciousness of God allowing Moses to see the land. But there's the consequences for Moses' sin, and that was he wouldn't be able to lead them in. And God says, for you shall not cross over this Jordan, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you see. You know, the more I look at this, the more empathy I have and compassion I have for Moses, in a sense. I mean, he has represented God for 40 years, all except for just a little outburst of anger, right? And yet this great promise that he's been clinging on to all these years, going into the promised land, is finally happening now. They're there, they're getting there, just on the other side of the Jordan. But they wiped out all of these cities, these two great kingdoms of Heshbon and Og, already have been conquered. And Moses is kind of saying in this prayer, Lord, now I get the picture. I'm seeing your power. I'm seeing you're actually going to do this. I've watched you. Now, would you please let me go into the land? But we see a just God. God means what he says and says what he means. And when he told Moses he wouldn't lead him into the promised land, he met that. And so his answer is, enough of that. Don't speak to me anymore of this matter. And he goes right ahead with graciousness and tells him he'll get to see it, go up and look at it. And then he says what? Command the one who's going to finish the work. So, a couple of questions. In the ministries that you're in, how indispensable do you see yourself? Oftentimes, I see people, maybe myself included, that feel so busy and so burdened down with this great ministry that God has given me. Oh, but I'm so busy. Or maybe there's three or four ministries that I'm so busy with. Where's that busyness coming from? Is that coming from the Lord, or is that coming from my own ego and I want to do a good job and show everybody what a good job I can do? I think it's something to consider here. Moses really kind of felt, I'm sure, that he was the one to lead them into the land. I mean, he'd been with these rebels all this time. But no, he's not going to lead them into the land, but he's to encourage the one who is. So if God takes you out of your ministry and puts somebody else in to finish it, don't be surprised, maybe. And also, don't be surprised if he commands you or gives you the clear instruction, you're to encourage them. You're to encourage them. Not to resent them. How dare you get that? How dare you finish the work that I've done for these 38 to 40 years, right? You get all the goodies and here I've done all the work. But we see Moses here is compliant with God, and we don't see him resenting it. We don't see him pouting. We don't see him failing to command Joshua. because the very next chapter, he commands obedience. Now, Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe and go on. And he will go on through the book of Deuteronomy here, kind of summarizing everything that's happened up to this point, getting them ready to go into the land. Prayer is good. Praying, even though, Lord, you've given me the indication it's not going to happen to me, if it is your will, could it be that you would let me do this? Remember Hezekiah, God told him, get your house in order, you're going to die. He told him that, didn't he? But Hezekiah prayed and had Isaiah pray, and God gave him 15 more years. Whether that was a good thing or not, I don't know, but God heard the prayer and answered the prayer. And even about David with his illegitimate son from Bathsheba, he did pray that if it was God's will that that son would live, but God took the son, didn't he? But we have that great lesson there too, but David said, he won't come back to me, but I will go to be with him, which is very encouraging for us, isn't it, to know that God seems to take the little ones to himself, and that is a beautiful thing. So it's good to pray in accordance with the Lord's will, but if the Lord has told you something, as he told Moses, you won't take him in. You won't take them in. God means what he says. So there's consequences to our sins, aren't there? But be encouraged. He is merciful. He will give us, even with temptation, he always provides a way of escape, doesn't he? And so we see Moses here, in one hand, being greatly encouraged by what the Lord is doing and getting ready to bring them into the promised land, and then recognizing he's not going to lead them, but we see the book of Deuteronomy continuing, and he will be preparing them to go in. And Joshua is actually going to be the one that will finish the work of leading them in and conquering the enemies within the land. Father, we thank you for this prayer. And Lord, this morning here we are to pray for those things you put on our hearts. And Lord, we do want to pray for those things that are in accordance with your will, knowing that the promise in your word is that if we ask anything according to your will, you hear us. And we know that if you hear us, you will grant us the petitions that we have asked. So lead us in this time of prayer, Lord, as we bow down before you in Jesus' name.